I will be reading Matthew 5:20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Preach the word, brother.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to be turning to our text for today. It'd be Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. A couple of months ago, Haiti was ravaged by a terrible earthquake. And we watched that on television, and, you know, those folks don't exactly build the way we build in the United States, and a lot of their homes and buildings were just totally devastated and demolished, and the death numbers were high, and a nation that is usually in poverty anyway had a difficult time. And we as a congregation here decided to join the efforts to try to help some of these people. So we took up a collection, if I recall, it was over $2,000. And we sent that down to Haiti to help those people. But you know, sometimes the way you send something can either be a good thing or not a good thing. Can you imagine if we would have taken up this contribution, made this sacrifice to send down there to glorify God, and we had sent it, let's say, by a man that just carried it down there, and we expected it to get there? But what if the money had not got there? What if the money would have ended up buying camel food at the San Diego Zoo? That would have been a real tragedy, wouldn't it have? You know that our young people, they had a little bake sale. They weren't really selling anything. They were just raising money for those people, too. Over $200, wasn't it? What if that money that was meant to be a sacrifice on God's, you know, to God, sending down there to help those people, what if the carrier of that money had took his family out to a big steak dinner instead of sending it down there? What a tragedy that would have been, right? Here's the good news. The what if didn't happen. We as the church knew that it was our responsibility in regard to our sacrifice to God to make sure that that contribution was well guarded. We picked a specific... I just spit all over the place. Pardon me. I'm like a camel. They spit, right? Yeah, where was that with that? We picked a specific man that we could trust to carry that money. We picked Terry Seiferline, Ed and Carol's son, preacher down here at the Church of Christ in Cedar Rapids. We picked him to carry that money down there. And as a result of that, he came and gave us a report. Every dime of our money made it to Haiti and fed a hungry people over the course of multiple days. Isn't that a great thing? That we decided to make certain to guard the sacrifice, to take care of it. But you know, kind of today we're going to be talking about that. Great seriousness and care should be taken to guard what is holy, to keep that which is sacred, pure, and consecrated unto God from being defiled. So, having said that, I'd like for us to read the text for today. It's a long reading, so I hope you can stay up with me. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs, And do not throw your pearls before the swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. There it is. In the Sermon on the Mount, when we crossed over into chapter 7, you'll bear in mind that I mentioned that I see the things in chapter 7 as cautionary measures for kingdom servants. First of all, we talked about the caution of judging, being judgmental. And to that end, now Jesus says, don't give what's holy to dogs, and don't cast your pearls before the swine. And I'll have to tell you, I've got to make this disclaimer, and I'm trying to figure out how to do it. Some people believe that this is the last point to do not judge. Some people think that this is the first point to the next section in regards to asking God about our needs. Both have potential. And I encourage you to explore the possibilities. However, for today, I want us to think about this as an individual point. Okay? So I'm challenging you to at least look at this in a different way. Don't know if I've ever heard a sermon just on this verse. If we weren't going verse by verse, I don't know if I'd pick this to present a lesson about. But here we go. Jesus begins by saying, do not give what is holy to the dogs. Does this kind of language from Jesus startle you a little bit? It does me, and I think it does some others. Most of the time, we as Christians, we understand a loving Jesus. We feel His love surrounding us. And as we live out our spirituality, we live that out within the shadow of His grace and mercy. And as we examine the whole of Scripture, we witness time and time again Jesus' patience and His forgiveness toward those people around Him. I think particularly the way that Jesus dealt with the woman at the well. His patience and His forgiveness and His love that He showed to her. I think about the way He dealt with Peter. After Peter denied Him three times, He still extended His loving forgiveness. I think about the woman caught in adultery. That was tender mercy that our Lord showed to her. And I think about the way Jesus dealt with the whole entire Jewish nation while hanging on the cross of Calvary. Very forgiving. In such, bearing in mind that Jesus, when He says, do not give what's holy to dogs, it seems a bit harsh. At some level, I want to ask you a question. At some level, is it possible that we as Christians have bought into the idea that Jesus is a wimpy Lord? Have we tried to mold Jesus into a modern-day role of toleration? A Jesus who's just going to go along with the status quo, anything that's happening, because He doesn't want to be confrontational in any sense, but this loving and kindness just flows from every angle, and our Lord would never be confrontational. If this is true, I want to suggest to you, holiness has already been defiled. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is a powerful Savior, and He guards that which is holy. That's my sermon title, Guard That Which Is Holy. He exposed the scribes and the Pharisees for what they were, for what their actions represented. Matthew 23, verse 27 and verse 23, He calls them hypocrites, whitewashed tombs, and even brood of vipers. He explained to the Syrophoenician woman, also called the Canaanite woman in the text, who had asked Jesus to heal her demon-possessed daughter, He said, look, it's not good to give the children's bread to the dogs. He even turned over the money changers' tables in the temples in Matthew chapter 21. So on certain occasions, Jesus, our Lord, called an ace, and a spade. That was our Lord. He wasn't worried about confrontation, but he was most concerned with the protection of what is holy. You know, I thought about this, and I thought, you know, I'm not sure that we are always concerned as the body of Christ about protecting that which is holy. But Jesus is concerned about it. When he brings up not to give what is holy to dogs, when you're talking about the giving of anything holy from our angle as Christians, we're talking about sacrifices. If you think for a moment about what a sacrifice is, sacrifices are that which are given as a gift to God to please Him. And over a lifetime of Christian maturity, our sacrifices should grow. Our sacrifices should become more meaningful to us as we move closer to God. An acceptable sacrifice is a sacrifice that is made toward the end of growing God's honor among men. That's an acceptable sacrifice. Acceptable sacrifices are never, never, never self-serving. God is glorified by all that is set aside as sacred, pure, and consecrated for Him, and He receives them as a fragrant aroma, as the Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 2. So he says we are not to give what is holy sacrifices to dogs. Think about this analogy with me for just a minute. Think for a moment about the temple in Jerusalem. Think about the priests that are standing in the outer courtyard. Think about all the animals that are led there and given to the priests to be sacrifices. Think about the grain, the drink offerings, all of those things that are brought there. Think about what's going on in that temple. Think about the killing of the animals. Think about the preparation of the animals to be put on an altar to be offered up as a smoke sacrifice to God. Think about the grain mixing with the oil to be put on the altar. Think about the drink offering. Look and see the candles on the lampstand. Look at the presence of bread as it's on the table. Think about all the stuff that's going on. See the priest in his priestly array. See the priest dragging the sacrifice over here. He's going to put it on the altar. That's the most precious time, if you think about it from our vantage point today, right before the sacrifice is given. Now, picture the priest. The priest stops, and he carves off part of this holy sacrifice that's to be given to God, and he takes it to the city wall, and he throws it over the wall to feed the dogs. Shame and defilement of what was set aside and consecrated to be holy to God. An abomination to defile what is holy. The things that are holy have been set aside. They're consecrated, they're dedicated, they're for God, and they are not to be given to dogs. Now, this is where you ask in the text, well, exactly who are the dogs? Because he ain't just talking about physical dogs, is he? In the context of the Sermon on the Mount, the dogs he's talking about is the scribes and the Pharisees. But this is not a mean, spirited devaluation of who these people were, but it designates their behavior. It's like calling them whitewashed tombs or brood of vipers. It describes their actions and what they were doing and being about. So here Jesus is telling his disciples, don't give what's holy to dogs. And he's talking about to the scribes and the Pharisees. Now here's the strong connection over this whole analogy about not giving what's holy to dogs. Middle Eastern dogs in the first century were not your domesticated rover pets that live in your house that you go, good doggy, and you feed a hot dog wiener too once in a while. That's not the kind of dogs Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about wild pack animals. He's talking about hyenas and jackals, those dogs that rove the wilderness out here, not those dogs that come up and go, pet me. It's like, if they come up, you better have a stick to defend yourself. These animals existed in packs outside the city walls of Jerusalem, particularly down at the city dump where there's gnashing of teeth. Remember those verses? The dogs are down at the city dump. They're fighting over all the food and anything they can manage to eat in the city dump. They, the dogs, don't care one thing about Jerusalem except anything that has to do with filling their own bellies and their own desires. You see what I'm saying? They're circling the camp. They're circling Jerusalem, waiting for somebody to throw something over the walls or the gates. And they don't say, oh, thanks, I was really hungry. I don't care nothing about you. I'm just going to eat this. Well, you know what? That was the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were out here circling God's intention. They didn't care anything about participating with God's intention. They were just waiting for some scraps to be thrown to them. And if you get your hand too close while throwing a scrap to a dog, you know what happens? A dog will bite your hand. Jesus says, do not give what is holy to dogs. Church, there are people in this world, and I want you to hear me, because we don't always view Christianity in this way. There are people in this world that we must pull away from so that they will not make a mockery out of the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he enters the sheep gate, also called Bethsaida in John chapter 5 and verse 6. And there's a man who's lame, and he's waiting on the stirring of the waters, hoping that he can be healed, and he's not healed. You know what Jesus says to him? Jesus says, do you want to get well? Jesus didn't have to ask that. He could have said, get up and walk, buddy. You're healed. No. He said to him, he said, I want to know something from you. Do you want to get well? What's the intention of your heart? You know what, church? I'll tell you this. Time and time again, I have wasted kingdom time trying to help somebody that didn't want to be helped. And you know what our Lord's saying? Move on, buddy. Kingdom time is precious. It's not that I don't care. But you know, if a person doesn't want to get well, when a person doesn't want to get well, they're acting doggish, okay? They're not caring about God's intent. And God wants me to move along with that. Not because he doesn't care about them, but our kingdom time is limited here, right? And there are people who do want to get well. So the Lord tells us not to give what is holy to dogs. It upholds God's own words that he says after the Nadab and Abihu incident, where Nadab and Abihu offered a strange fire before the Lord in Leviticus chapter 10, and they went outside of what God expected, what God wanted, and God killed them because of it. And right after that, God says this, I will be honored. Church, we must be a people who are concerned about honoring God, and when we take His sacrifices, the sacrifices that we are giving unto Him, and we put them before a dog who doesn't care anything about godliness, we are putting what's holy in front of that which is not holy. Now, if you think about the first few verses of chapter 7, do not judge. Well, this kind of seems almost to be saying the opposite, doesn't it? Not really. We don't judge each other with this condemnation, God's balance of justice thing, but we are called to be a discerning people. God gave us our brains, and He has kingdom business that's out there. So we have to be monitoring how we're approaching kingdom business. Paul, he's headed to Asia, right? I want to go preach the gospel in Asia. What could be wrong with that? Nothing except the Spirit of God says no to him, right? What would have happened if Paul would have kept trying to go to Asia after the Spirit told him no? He got a bloody head from trying to walk through a door that's closed, right? But how often do we try to walk through closed doors? I'm telling you what, I'm living proof of it. I just don't get it sometimes. But God calls me to think about these things and try to accept His direction and not my own. The only time I get a bloody head trying to walk through closed doors is when I'm trying to walk in my way and not follow His lead. Okay, how's that? At least that gives you something to think about. Second part of the verse says this: do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. First of all, pearls represent the precious things of the kingdom of God. Sometimes, perhaps, our Christianity can tend to get just a little bit routine, doing the same things over and over. I know that we can get into spiritual ruts from time to time because I would assume that you can. I certainly can. So I want to just take just a second, and I want to be reminded of the preciousness of God's kingdom. First of all, God's kingdom offers true relationship with God. God's kingdom is a kingdom where the veil of separation has been taken away, where we have the boldness to approach the throne of grace and come into the presence of God, where we always want to be. You know that song, "Where I Always Want to Be"? In God's kingdom, the blood of Jesus offers continual cleansing for sin. Church, the preciousness of God's kingdom is also found in the fact that we don't stand alone. Jesus stands as our high priest, pleading on our behalf before God. And the preciousness of the kingdom is also the fact that the Holy Spirit has taken up residency in our heart and is there as a guarantee of our inheritance. The preciousness of God's kingdom is also found in the grace and the mercy that seem to shower us from heaven like rain. And in God's kingdom we find our greatest treasure. We find the saving blood of God's very own Son, Jesus. Later, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, Jesus points to great value of God's kingdom when He talks about the merchant who, finding a great pearl, gave up everything he had to go and get it. So, being reminded here of the preciousness of God's kingdom, Jesus says, do not cast that preciousness before pigs. Here Jesus likens the scribes and the Pharisees to pigs. Now talk about a slap in the face to any Jew. But I want to remind you, He's not just calling them this. He's talking about their actions. And there's a difference. If I come up to you and I say, "You pig, that's ugly and nasty." If I come and talk to you and I say, "You know, your actions are kind of hoggish, piggish, Now I'm talking about what you're doing, right? Jesus is talking about the things these guys are doing. Jesus tells us to refrain from placing the precious things of the kingdom before piggish people because they will trample them into the mud. Like putting a pearl necklace. Any of you ladies have pearl necklaces? I see some heads, okay. What, can you imagine taking a pearl necklace and going out to the pig pen? How many of you have ever been to the pig pen? It's not the most pleasant place in the world, right? Mud and all this business and nasty, stinking, filth and mess, you know. You take your pearl necklace and go put it, lay it down in the mud right in front of a pig. You know what that pig will do? I tell you what that pig will do. He'll sniff that just for a second just to realize that it ain't anything that's going to fill his belly or his desires, and then he'll stomp on it. As he'll step right on it, squash that right there. You know why? Because this pig has no understanding of value. Well, that pearl necklace cost $600. The pig don't care. He'll squash that sucker right. He'll roll over on it if he gets a chance. The scribes and the Pharisees were doing the same thing. The scribes and the Pharisees were trampling precious kingdom things into the mud as they tried to approach God on their own terms. Jesus says in Matthew 5:20 that our righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. He's still not left that point. That point carries through the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. With all of that, Jesus says, you know what? If the pigs don't get what they want, they're going to turn and tear you to pieces. When they don't get what they want, when their bellies aren't full, somebody's got to pay. And that's about like the scribes and the Pharisees. A part of what we must guard in God's precious kingdom is ourselves. God has given each of us kingdom work and responsibility and the influence to carry it out. And He doesn't want us beaten up like pigs. You know, from time to time, I hear people that have left the Lord's church, and you know, they always cite a justification for why they did it, and it never has anything to do with themselves. Brother so-and-so was mean to me, and I quit. I'm not going to go. Hey, let me tell you what. We can't let other people get under our skin, even when it's each other sometimes, because we all go through these cycles of ups and downs in our spiritual walk. We have to guard our hearts, sometimes with each other. We certainly have to guard our hearts when we're talking about going out here and discussing Jesus with somebody that really doesn't care. Have you ever had that discussion? I'm at work, I have one guy, and man, he's just really excited to know about Jesus. And I study with him. He's just foaming at the mouth. I want to know more. The guy's baptized. Very sincere. Then you have the other guy. He's been raised in some church where his doctrine is his opinion now. And he will argue that till hell freezes over, you might say, till the very end of time. He doesn't care about what's right. He's just going to argue his point. I'm not going to stay there, and I'm not going to stay hooked up and engaged in that conversation because I'm putting what's precious before a pig. You see? You know what our problem with all this is, church? Your problem's my problem. I want to be the loving, tender, caring Jesus so much I'm almost willing to look past anything. Sometimes to the point that I overlook what will help someone. I don't want to tell someone they're wrong because it might hurt their feelings. But if they don't know what's wrong, they can't fix it. You know what I'm saying? So, My question to you today in regard to this passage is, are you guarding your holy sacrifice to God? What are you doing to guard that? Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you praying every day? Are you taking time to guard your worship time to God? Are you monitoring the people that you try to help to see if they really want to get well or not? How serious do we take our kingdom responsibilities? This whole section, chapter 7, I've labeled as kingdom responsibilities. How serious do we take that? Do we do the Hail Mary approach? No offense intended. You know, that's the thing where the last play of the football game, it's a score this to this, and the only way you can win is make this big pop pass and hope for the great. Do we approach Christianity with this approach sometimes that we're just going to launch this great big long pass and hope we make it to the end zone? Or are we consistent every day? Are we serious every day to understand that which God has given us and to understand our responsibility to it? It takes a lot of effort. I hope that you're serious with that. I was faced to think about that thing this week. Maybe sometimes we tend to forget the holy sacrificial nature of our lives. Maybe our tendency is to get down and wrestle with the pigs. God wants us to be wise, discerning stewards, guarding that which is holy unto His pleasure. Here's the invitation for you today. Have you guarded that which is holy in your life? That's the Lord's invitation. And if you need to respond, we'd invite you to come as we stand and sing.